Welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney, a podcast about getting local Kansas City artists on the couch to chat. Hello, 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 and welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney.
Hello.
I'm Corey.
I'm Courtney.
And today on the show, we have our new friend, John Christie. Welcome to the show, John.
Yeah, thrilled to be here.
Oh my gosh. John is one of our new friends, which we will kind of talk about in a minute on how we got to know him. But first question is, how did you get to the couch today, John?
Well, my calendar said to be at 1000 East 9th Street at 1:45,
so there's always here I find one myself. Yeah. No, I love that. Yeah. Where do you work at?
So the name of my firm is Premier Financial Partners, and we do holistic financial planning and wealth management, and are also a great friend of the arts community, or at least try to be.
You are. Yes. We are happy about this. So how long have you been in that space?
Our physical office space, we've been there, we're coming up on 4 years.
Cool. And that, what was there a reason that you moved into that location, into the Crossroads?
Primarily because I was sick of suburban beige walls, beige carpet, boring office that I had spent the last handful of years in, and really wanted to develop an office space that would be a place people would want to hang out, people would want to stop by, and have it be an attractor versus a detractor, and I think drop ceilings and tan walls are more of a detractor than an attractor.
I love your space.
It is amazing.
We went in there, we'll call it 3-4 months ago, whenever we first kind of started chatting. Evie Craig, our executive director, had previously had meetings there and talked about how awesome you guys were, and so once we went into that place, we were like, how can we play together? Mm-hmm. And I think we're gonna play together.
That's true.
So this Thursday, whenever this episode drops, it'll be the day before we officially open up our co-gallery space together, which we are calling the Arts Asylum Annex at Premier Financials. Mm-hmm. And that would give us the address again for us?
It is 1535 Walnut, so we are in the northeast corner of 16th and Walnut, right across from Tannen.
Yeah, how close are you to Big Brothers Big Sisters? Is that like right down the street
right down
from
the street.
You?
Yeah, about 2 blocks north of there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had some friends who lived right above that area, and so I've walked your streets for days. Mm-hmm. I was at a wedding on Grand the other day, about 2 weeks ago, and as we were walking down to the parking lot that they're able to use, that event space, we walked right by your facility, and I go, come and see our art gallery space, it's going to be right there. So you really are kind of a part of that pulse in that Crossroads area.
Yeah.
I'm really excited that we get to kind of work together.
Well, that was our intent. That drew me to the space from the get-go. We had looked at some other space near Quality Hill, and we knew we wanted to be central, but there's something special about the Crossroads.
Yeah,
right.
It's true.
How do you kind of think that there? What do you think maybe like the biggest connection is between what you do inside of those walls and sort of what is happening outside of those walls? You know, once a month, essentially. You know.
Yeah. Well, in the wealth management and financial planning space, there is certainly a science to it, but I also feel like there's an art to it, and the people that are most successful and have the biggest impact, in my opinion, are those that understand the art of it. And there were so many overlaps between the actual art community and what we're trying to do, even though it does seem a little bit separate in space. It's so anyway, we like to think of ourselves of curating our own art, but it's not anything anyone would want to look at.
That's exactly what we talk about.
Yep.
I used to office in Corporate Woods, and it's a lovely office setting, but we're trying to be anti-Corporate Woods, not only with our staff, but our all of our team members in the space.
When you walk past your windows, it's just so inviting, and then you get to sort of see that conference area room, and I mean, that is the place to be. When we had our retreat there about 2 weeks ago, I was just loving watching humanity sort of drive by and walk by. I thought it was a perfect place to be that day.
Yeah.
The first few months we officed there, it was hard not to get lost staring out the window. Now you kind of get used to it, like, yep. like anything else. Now, mm-hmm. Watching Bad Parallel Parkers is, yes. You know, a pastime for everybody. Gosh.
I would be one of those until I got my backup cam. Thank yeah. God for that.
Yeah, I used to work on the Plaza, and that was my most favorite thing, was to watch people who had no clue what they were doing.
Actually, a couple of years ago, I saw a young lady try about 4 or 5 times, and I actually went out and parked a car for her.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you.
Yeah, we're full service.
Yeah, full service. I mean, you really are. It's so great. So, you had mentioned that previously you were in Corporate Woods. Are you originally from Kansas City?
I am. I kind of grew up by Oak Park Mall okay. and was graduated from Shawnee Mission South, went to K-State. I'm sure that'll polarize a few of the listeners, but you know, by and large, I've lived here the majority of my life.
Cool. And was the profession that you're in sort of one that you always wanted to be into, or did you sort of fall into that?
I knew I wanted to do something with economics and finance and business, but it took a couple of mentors, a really fabulous class at K-State, and some luck and a couple of twists and turns along mm-hmm. the way. And mm-hmm. but I do feel like I'm right where I need to be.
That's awesome.
Or right where I'm supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that people like you should be in the professions that they are, especially if you enjoy it.
Well, and I do, and the artist community should be thankful I'm not trying to be an artist.
Who knows? If you were an artist, what would it be? Like, if you were outside of your financial artistry, what do you think you'd want to do?
Oh, boy, I'd be terrible at everything. I think I did design the office space, so if I could be a... like an interior architect, mm-hmm. or I do like landscaping, where I don't have to mm-hmm. create anything from scratch, but give me, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. 2 dozen different plants, I'll put them where they need to go.
You're a curator almost.
Yes, mm-hmm. But to do anything from scratch, I do love to cook, so if I could be in the culinary, I guess if I was in the arts, I'd be in the culinary arts.
Mm-hmm. I love to eat. Mm-hmm. How can we motivate you to go into the culinary arts?
Well, we have a lot of smoked turkey left over, okay. so, as I'm sure everybody does.
How was Thanksgiving for everyone? How was Thanksgiving for you?
That was great.
Yeah.
We traveled to see some family in southeast Kansas the weekend before, but the day of Thanksgiving, didn't hardly leave the house. It was perfect.
Mm-hmm. I'm loving this. I think Courtney and I talked about it last year, because different families sort of have, because sometimes families are so big and how the heck do you get to all of them, this sort of time now in the holidays is that people sort of move those family dinners and stuff to a different day. It was mm-hmm. There's a lot of people who have mentioned that they went and did Thanksgiving the week before because that was where that side of the family could mm-hmm. go. And I just really have been interested in that upswing of changing the, not making the date so important, but the event in which you're trying to accomplish be really what you're planning right. around for. And so I'm really glad that you did that.
Yeah, well, my parents were divorced when I was growing up, and so we started that when we were young, and it the day has never meant that much. It's more mm-hmm. the event, as you said, Corey.
The Thanksgiving is beyond my favorite holiday because it erases all of that other crap that you're supposed to, like, do around, and really you spend the entire day just kind of telling people how happy you are that they exist in this world, and the hippie inside of me is all about that. I'm just like, I love you. Thanks for existing in my aura.
I think I forgot to do that on Thanksgiving, so maybe I'll try to do that tonight.
It's a new month. You can do it every day this month. Right. Do it with your advent calendar.
Yeah, it's hard. Well, I have little kids, so the whole trying to focus on just the thankfulness as opposed to the gifts and the things and the stuff that comes with it is quite nice to have a little break of, like, please stop asking me for things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. I've got 4 little kids as well, and Thanksgiving and 4th of July, those are the two.
What are your ages of your 4 kids?
I have a 10-year-old daughter, a 9-year-old son. I'm glad this can be edited. I hope I get this right. A 7-year-old daughter and a 3-year-old daughter.
Wow. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. It's we have an active house.
Uh-huh. That's right.
And you live out south?
I live at Lake Quivira,
which
is a small lake community, kind of more west. It's, but it's a lot closer to downtown. Everybody thinks that's like an hour away. And
it's probably super close, really.
Yeah, I can be door-to-door in less than 25 minutes. Yeah. So
there's some days I can't even do that. I hate 35 north. Yeah. So what did you do for the holiday, Miss Courtney?
We stayed here, and I had Thanksgiving proper at my parents' house, which was the first, like, they have a new condo, so it was the first holiday we've had in the new condo, and it's very nice because it's on the plaza, so we got to walk to the plaza lights. Even though it seemed like nobody really did that because there was rain.
No one was at the Plaza Lights this year. I went down there and me and the group I was with was able to almost walk up to the stage and see the elders with no one. And in years past, I couldn't even get down there.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. We were talking about this morning. It's very strange the way that people reject rain at the holiday, but I've stood out here in freezing snow. And that is fine, because that's what you want at the holidays, I guess. But the rain was like, no one was anywhere in sight. And it wasn't even really raining.
No.
It was like drizzly. Now, the mayor's Christmas tree lighting on Friday with the weird thunderstorms. we skipped, because that was real rain.
I love the mayor's Christmas tree lighting. This was Quentin's first year, right?
It was Quentin's first year.
He got to light it this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One day we'll have Quentin on the show. Yeah. We love Sly, and I'm looking forward to getting to know Quentin in the same way.
No, I think he's going to do a fabulous job. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is a lot of people may not know, Lake Quivira, we have a big mayor's Christmas tree.
We do.
We drew like 80 or 100 people.
Oh my God.
Wow.
I love that. Love that those little neighborhoods like that are starting their own traditions too, because if you don't want to travel all the way down into the city, do it out there.
Right. Well, and again, like doing it, like there's a Downward Parkway, I think there's quite a few blocks that do like
starts at 69th.
Group. You know, like each block has its own thing with like the wrapped trees or whatever, and they all do their own little thing. And I think that's a great way to be like, let's all, you know, because my neighborhood when I was growing up, which was, we were just in like North Brookside, South Plaza, whatever you want to call it, was like my extended family. And I think that it's weird that we don't really do that as a society anymore. Like there, you have to find pockets of like people who know their neighbors.
Well, I don't know if people talk to their neighbors really anymore. Are you kind of a person amongst your neighborhood? Does everyone know who you are? You guys are active?
Yeah. Lake Quivira is a very tight-knit community. In fact, sometimes it may even be
too tight.
Too tight. Everybody knows everything, but it's...
you can't get away with anything, right?
But it does... I mean, raising kids in that environment is just fabulous. I can't imagine not having that sense of community.
I know. It's so weird that there are people... Because I have quite a few friends who live in what I would consider neighborhoods that should be like that. But they're like, oh, I don't talk to my neighbors. And I'm like, well, what if your kids like run down the street? Like, don't you know who they're running to or what, you know?
Well,
what,
you
that
grew
they
up
can
in
have.
A Dinner Bell neighborhood.
We definitely like went there. I mean, I also lived in like Irish Catholic Central. I stepped out of my porch and there were like 56 kids within a 4-block radius of our house. My mom rang like a legit triangle dinner bell when it was time for us to come home in the summer. We just left in the morning and we didn't come home until we heard that bell.
I miss those days.
No, yeah, it's great. There's been times, I mean, dinner at our house, we might feed 14 kids.
Right.
And we might not have any to feed because they're all running
they're
around
all
somewhere.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We're not too worried about it. They'll show up when they show up.
Yes. I have the benefit on my block that we have, there's a lot of girls. It's pretty much all girls, except I think there's one poor little boy at the end. But he hangs pretty well with all the girls, but we're all on one side of the block. So we haven't had to do like crossing the street thing yet, because mine are 5 and 8. But they, I mean, yeah, they leave at summer and I'm like, hopefully they're at Kim's house. I don't know. Or wherever, you know. And I live in like the city. I mean, I just live in Hyde Park. So, but yeah, I don't want to teach my kids to be afraid of that.
I've always played outside as a kid. And I feel like I still do. As an adult, I'm always out there trying to find something to do. And Kansas City has a lot of free things, especially around the holidays, that if you just want to get off your couch and go play. I've spent a lot of time just looking at Christmas lights in the last 4 days.
Yeah.
Going down to Union Station was beautiful. Have you been down there yet for the holiday?
I have not, but my friend Katie Mabry Van Deeren, she does she has a swing, and I think it was down there this weekend.
Yeah, it was huge. It was amazing. I think, what did they say? There was like
20 or 30,000
people.
Yeah,
that went through. And Katie's so amazing, and the holiday swing is my favorite of all of them. I mean, I like all of them, but the holiday one is just, there's something about that many people and the like buzz of buying local and handmade art and all of that. That's so
you really could go down there and get your, I think you said this morning, your entire holiday shopping done and support local. Mm-hmm. You're walking. It's all there. I mean, we saw them loading it out yesterday. And
yeah, it's insane.
I probably wanted to buy 10 things. I wanted to be like, stop, hold on, get your Square out. I'll buy it right now.
Yeah.
What do you think, like, is that holiday gift that you would love to, like, give someone? You know, like, is there something that you, like, are known to give to people for the holidays? Like, Courtney and I, like, she always gives me socks, and I always give her, like, a sweater. You know, like, do you have any of those sort of holiday traditions in your life?
You know, I probably should, but I have someone on Megan Britter, she's kind of my right hand on my team. She actually shops for my wife, mm-hmm. and my wife shops for her, and then Megan shops for everybody else. So I do very, very little Christmas shopping.
That's awesome.
We're big events people. I would be far more inclined to take the family to go do something. Mm-hmm. So,
but that's always better. I mean, at the end of the day, we're trying to be very intentional about our gifts this year because kids have so much stuff. They come with a lot of stuff. And then they want stuff that's so stupid. Sorry, kids, but like, you know, just more stuff that I could step on or that I could. I've done two things in my life that are, I think, things that only happen on television and movies. But the other day, I stepped down my stairs, and there was a roller skate at the bottom. And I was like, this is... Because one time, I was the person who went bowling and threw the bowling ball behind me.
Mm-hmm. I think that was recently.
It was not that long ago.
Right.
And then I stepped on the roller skate, and I'm like, all this stuff, get this stuff out of my way. But experiences are so much better to give, is really the point of that ridiculous story.
Well, I don't necessarily remember what anyone gave me a year ago, but I can tell you the two amazing adventures I've been on.
Right.
The last year and probably in every detail in those two adventures, but nope, I couldn't tell you what even my husband gave me last year.
Mm-mm.
I know what I gave him because I listened to it all the time, which was Bette Midler on vinyl and Hello Dolly because she was amazing.
That's true.
I love the idea of Courtney and I talk a lot about how if we buy something for someone throughout the year, it's usually like, that's what I would rather do. I would rather see something and give it to you instead of like hold on to it and try to remember it for Christmas and then make it be a part of this like stack of presents. And instead I'm like, hey, don't you really want this taco shirt or something? Mm-hmm. That's probably what you would
that I made. Found in July.
Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. I think that's fair.
That's fair. I love that. The holidays are in full swing, and if you are just tuning in, we are talking with our new friend John.
Mm-hmm.
So what are, do you have, speaking of adventures, do you have any coming up? Any fun events? Can you say, because maybe you're giving it to your children for Christmas?
No, we got to get spring break planned. Actually, that's how I should have answered your previous question. I got to get on the ball if I'm going to do it this year, but in years past, I've wrapped up a little gift for each of them, and then it was a clue to where we were going on spring break.
Mm-hmm. Where are we going?
Don't know yet, so I got to get on that. But we have flown all six of us, but I think we're going to find something that's drivable. We're too much of a mess to try to navigate an airport, so
that's fair.
We'd probably end up like Home Alone, or we'd have one lost in New York.
What do your kids do? Are they in any fun activities that you get to be kind of like a soccer dad for or something?
I guess I'm basketball dad.
You're basketball dad.
Yeah, so I coach two of my kids' basketball teams. And the three-year-old, she hasn't quite, come into whatever her thing is yet. But big basketball. My kids, they like golf. They're like athletics.
Mm-hmm.
Can you edit that? I can't talk.
It but, shows the realism of you.
Yeah, but so we've got an active house. And
do you have a basketball goal at home?
We do.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
We do. And it got a broken light fixture out front I need to replace.
Why replace it if people are going to keep throwing a basketball?
Well, that's true. Got to get their shots down to there are no errant shots, and then we'll replace it.
It reminds me of like Follow the Bride. You know, like there's that moment where Steve Martin is teaching both of his kids how to play basketball, and then that's sort of their connection through the rest of their life. So I love me and my dad, you know, he loves to play golf. I'm sadly a really good golfer, but I don't care about playing it, which is probably very heartbreaking to my father in some ways. But I love whenever we go out and having that time with my dad, you know, we get lost for hours playing golf, and I feel like we solve the world's problems. So it's really cool that you do that with your kids.
Yeah, no, I like having events. We do go back to some K-State football and basketball games, and you know, putting the whole family in the car for a couple hours, that's better than the game itself.
Sure,
and, we're trying to limit electronics, so, you know, kids, you're no iPads, no nothing. You're going to have to talk to us. And
do you really try to implement that, like, as much as no iPads and stuff as you can?
Yeah, we're very limited. You know, as you were alluding to earlier, they go outside and play. There is no need to sit there and have hours and hours of screen time.
I feel like there are people who invite their friends over just to, like, get on their iPads together. And I'm like, no, go outside and play.
Yeah.
If you are listening out there, parents, like, throw your kids outside. Make them build a snowman.
Well, kids are pretty inventive, too, when you don't give them the option. Like, my kids have turned our shed into a whole clubhouse situation because
if it's above 50,
I'm like, get outside. Get out of here. Because you're just going to trash my house if you're inside. And you're not going to be any help to clean it up.
But I feel we've had conversations about the, what will I call it, the positive parts of those things. I mean, I can't imagine being a parent sometimes and just being like, damn, I need 20 minutes to myself. Will you play on this iPad for 20 minutes? Like, I understand it sometimes as a distracting
tool.
Yeah, I do see that. I'm not like, throw them all into the fire and let's burn them in the middle.
Sure.
But like, I even would respect more if, like, some of the parents actually played the games with the kids on the iPad, too. Like, you know, obviously they're there and you can have engagements, but sometimes just kind of throwing your kid in the corner with an iPad freaks me out.
Yeah, the one I don't get is when you walk into a restaurant and there's, like, a family of four or six.
Right.
And they're all on a device.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like, yep. Why are you doing that? What'd you do? Why didn't you just order that in? Like, why are you at a restaurant doing that? Although, I will say that I've seen that even without electronic devices. I once went to, like, there was a family of, like, six. And it was refreshing, but also still, like, why are you here? And they all had books. I was like, you're just sitting at that table and you're all reading and you're not even reading the same book. Like, it was very strange. Just because I can't imagine going through the effort. I mean, you know, you have four of I only have three of them, and I'm like, we have to go. Like, the idea of getting out of the house is just in that is enough work that I'm like, we will all talk. We will
absolutely
do the things, because this was a lot to get us out and in one place.
That almost reads like a Far Side cartoon, like, you know, someone looking like Fred Flintstone taking his family to dinner, but they're all reading books instead of, you know, on their...
How archaic that is.
Right.
Yeah, but I think, you know, as the holidays and life happens, every time I go on a vacation, I always come back and I just want to throw my phone away, because I love to, like, disconnect from it on that trip, especially if I go on a cruise or whatever. Those internet packages are a bajillion dollars sometimes, so I'd rather not.
Save it for the drink package,
right? Yes, exactly.
Exactly.
A man after my own heart here. So I'm an odd activist for balancing the technology, you know, because they're just going to keep giving it to us. I mean, eventually we'll have holograms that we won't even have to talk to our counterparts. You know, it'll just be them. And so I just try to remind us to be like, get out there and still have human interactions.
Right.
And because it's so easy to hide on, you know, on social media through a fake alias or something, you have no idea. I could be talking to you, John, on Facebook all the time, but you had a fake name and I would never know it was you. And so I don't know, I never shut up, as you can tell. So I love to talk to people.
I was wondering how, you know, my wife sometimes says, John, land the plane. I get off on these tangents.
Oh, I guess.
So, Corey, land the plane. Where are you going with this?
I can't land the plane.
No.
I literally can't. It's almost why we have a podcast, friend. So someone has to sit here for an hour and do that. So, yeah, so now we get to transition into the second half of our questions game.
That's right.
So this part kind of allows for us to get to know you through questions that other people have answered. So my first question is, what is your definition of real magic? Everyone gives that face.
That's true.
Right.
That is a...
That's deep.
That is it.
You're going to get all the deep ones from him, and I'm going to have really fluffy seven
well,
ones.
Well, why do you start with them? Let's start with you.
You know?
Because I can't land the damn plane.
Well, see, I'm circling the plane now, trying to think through how I'm going to answer that question. There's so many different ways to go with it, but I would say real magic is when two people or groups somehow overlap in a scenario where they typically wouldn't, and positivity comes from it.
Maybe we're going to do that with a little gallery opening.
Hey, there we go. Hey, what a segue.
Yeah. I love that. We call that in my house kind of like the Venn diagram of like similar things. You know, you have your two separate worlds, but that center diagram, whenever you figure out how to connect two, you know, almost opposite worlds together is, it's pretty magical. You know?
I agree.
It is. Yeah.
There you go. All right. You are a new addition to the crayon box. What color are you and why? See, fluff.
See,
he's like, that's harder than magic.
I'd probably be purple because of K-State. Apparently I'm hard to buy for, and so everybody, like, for holidays and birthdays or whatever, just buys me some K-State apparel. Right. So if you walk into my wife and I's closet,
you know your clothes?
Yeah, I have a whole purple section. So I guess I would be royal purple technically
that's true.
The color. So not just purple, but
that's
royal
right.
purple.
Wild cat
When's your
purple.
Birthday, John?
It is March 11th.
All right.
3/11. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people remember it because when I was in high school, 3/11 was
sure. a band.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I listened to 3/11 a few times in my life. Mm-hmm. That, wow. That would, yep.
It's probably closer to our generation than your time. I think 3/11 was dying down.
I was on the back side of 3/11. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How old are you, John? I know I'm not supposed to ask a gentleman that, but.
I am a 39.
39 years
old. So I'll be 40 on March 11th.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Courtney just turned 40.
Mm-hmm.
She's seen the dark side on the other
That's
side.
Right.
How's
That's
it
right.
look?
It's okay. It really was all right. I just knew that I couldn't. The only thing that I had with 40 was my birthday fell on the first day of my middle daughter going into third grade. And I could not have a third grader and turn 40 on the same day. So I made her stay home from school. It's like, you'll start school on the second day of school because I cannot have both on the same day. That's not going to work for me.
You're crazy.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. For a myriad of reasons that have nothing to do with that.
Is that an excused absence? You know, how does that
technically speaking, she has like what's considered jump start, so it's not mandatory. So her first day of school was like weeks later, but the first day of jump start, I was like, we're not starting on that first day of jump start. We're not doing that.
Her kids go to the Crossroads.
Yeah.
And then twice a week, well, actually, we're more than that now, right?
We're every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're every day. We teach the visual and performing arts classes to the Crossroads High School. Mm-hmm. So,
oh, that's fabulous. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's a really kind of cool connection that we have through that preparatory school, essentially, that she sort of, Courtney helped cultivate in the beginning because her daughter was going into that school, and we went to them because we're entrepreneurs, as you know. And we're sitting there, and I think it probably was at Union Hill before, and we were like, these kids don't have theater and art classes.
Mm-hmm.
We have this building. Maybe we could build that for them. And then they said yes.
Right. And then they did it.
And how freaking
Their
cool
first,
that is.
The first year of the high school, it was just the founding freshman class because they did like where they, you know, took freshmen, and then every year they've progressed. And they actually would come over here on a bus because they were just renting they had two classrooms at the Park Extension downtown, whatever that is, the UMB Bank building. And so they would go off-site for things. Like, they went to the Tony Aguirre Center for their gym class and all of that. And so they would come here on a bus, and we would have 35 ninth graders running around and doing it. It was fun. That first year was really fun because we got to know those kids really well. And they were in our space, so it was a little different. Mm-hmm. We're in their space now, so they get running.
But around. I love the idea of them making scholars of the city. Like, teaching them to use the streetcar, to go to the public library, and I feel like those are things that I was told almost to not do when I was in academia. You know, like, be careful of downtown Kansas City, and now they want kids to ride the buses and the streetcars, and mm-hmm. it's so cool. I've been on the streetcar with our scholars sometimes, and I'm like, you're doing this too. I love what Kansas City is trying to do by connecting it together mm-hmm. in different ways.
Without doubt, it's come a long ways.
Yes, it has. I'll tangent for a second. So you have sort of watched the first Fridays sort of grow to what its exponential large was this past summer. And then I feel like then right after the unfortunate shooting that happened, we went into the colder months of first mm-hmm. Fridays. So we haven't really seen what the neighborhoods and, you know, and what that area is going to be like now, but I'm really kind of excited for the holiday section of that we're doing, because we're hoping to bring your people and our people together starting this Friday for First Fridays for a holiday market space there too. We have some really great artists that are going to be in there selling things. Mm-hmm. Courtney has sort of helped curate some of those. We have a great woman named Ruby mm-hmm. that's going to be there. Mm-hmm. James Macon, who is our stained glass window maker, I think he's going to have some fun candle holders uh-huh. and stuff. Uh-huh. Larissa
is a fibers artist and jewelry artist. We have another jewelry designer, Celestial Creations, Lynn. Bunch of our tenants, and then three of the visual artists that they're actually there through March. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That'll be really cool. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. Jake Schmidt. And that is Dylan Carroll, and then Aaron Smith. And mm-hmm. I believe their work was already hung up in your space this past week. And mm-hmm. I've heard it's looking good.
It looks fabulous.
Yeah.
It was. It's amazing how transformative it is to go from full walls to blank walls back to mm-hmm. full walls. Yeah. So it's.
I love the layout of what we're going to get to do there. You know, because for those of you who haven't been there, but you better come mm-hmm. and see it, John sort of allows for us to expand outside of the walls of his business into the lobby mm-hmm. of the apartment complex, right? They are mm-hmm. apartments, condos, mm-hmm. or whatever. And it's going to be a really cool marketplace that I'm really hoping that people will come down and do their holiday shopping mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. with.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's about 50 residents on the mm-hmm. second through the seventh floor of our building, and mm-hmm. they're embracing this and looking forward to
good.
It. So
everyone that we sort of ran into just in passing there seems to be very welcoming to the artist being in that lobby space, so yeah. I'm super excited for that as well.
Yeah, well, yeah. In fact, when we had art hung prior, it gave the building, it's the Campbell Loft building, and the first floor is zoned for residential or commercial, and then mm-hmm. floors 2 through mm-hmm. 7 are all residential. But you know, according to the real estate community, it was starting to become known as the art building.
Ooh.
So I'm glad that we're able to perpetuate that right. and give it an identity.
Good.
Mm-hmm. And you're definitely giving it an identity. You mm-hmm. know, I mean, as I said, those windows when you walk past makes you want to walk in those doors and be like, what the heck is inside of this?
For sure.
All right, back to the questions. So, you know, it's going to be a tough one. Mm-hmm. What was something you were told you could never do or do well that you have accomplished or in the process of accomplishing? Boom, boom, boom. He's like, you couldn't have sent this question ahead of time?
Yeah, no kidding.
Uh-huh. I like to watch people's brains work.
I don't know how that translates to radio or to the podcast world, but...
I'll explain it to them. They're very confused. No.
Yeah. That's a fascinating question, because I think one of my greatest strengths is that I know my deficiencies and mm-hmm. either try not to do them or hire staff to do them for me so that I'm not doing them.
Right.
Well, I would say, I don't, nobody told me that I could have four, kids that look to have a bright future. They didn't say I couldn't, but I don't know that I would have said I could, so I'll answer it that way. I got a great family, and yeah.
That is, like, such a damn good mm-hmm. answer, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, I will 100% accept how cool of an answer that is.
All right, even though I didn't really answer your question.
No, you did!
I mean, that would have been a lot more boring if I said, water skiing. I can slalom pretty well, and, you know,
Well, we would have talked about that, too. Do you like to water ski?
No, I don't mind it, you know? but, I'll answer your deep question with
my children.
Yes.
Next generation. Yeah. Do you like to ice skate? Are you an ice skater?
No, I don't. I actually have a really bad right foot that I should have had surgery on years ago, and ice skating hurts.
Okay.
So
ice skating kind of hurts me too.
Yeah, I took my family a couple of years ago, and the next day it was.
You're like, this isn't worth it. No. I'll stand on the side and take photos.
That's exactly right.
Right.
I'll go buy everyone new scarves. You know, but,
that's right.
So you can look good doing it, but I think I'm done ice skating.
Yeah.
Do you guys do that, like, family matching pajamas photo or anything on Christmas Day where everyone has the same scarf or PJ pants?
Yeah, that's handled by a different division at my house.
Right.
But the kids and all the cousins are all coordinated. And, and again, I just take pictures and, you know, stay out of the way.
You don't adorn a beautiful scarf that matches everyone? He's like, no.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I own a scarf, actually, so maybe that's something I should look into.
Maybe we'll have one for sale at the holiday market.
Oh, if so, I'm a buyer. Right, the best buyers are either someone with a lot of scarves that... is a collector,
yes.
or someone like myself doesn't own one. Yeah.
Well, I hope it's not too cold on Friday to where if you don't have a scarf, you can't come out. But if it's...
I think it's supposed to be nice.
Yeah.
I think it's supposed to be in the 50s that day. I think we had, like, today we have to get through. It's kind of cold.
What is with this weather?
It's so weird. Very cold, like, snowy-ish on Thanksgiving, and then thunderstorms on Friday.
And 60 degrees on
60
Saturday.
Very cold Sunday and Monday, and then back up into the 50s. It's the Midwest.
Enjoy your pneumonia, everyone.
That's right. Hop on board with
it. Hop on board.
Oh, my goodness.
Next question, Miss Perry.
Okay, you are invisible for 24 hours.
Bum, bum, bum.
I know. What do you do with your time? And you can just, like, you don't have to worry about travel being part of your 24 hours.
What would you do with 24 hours to yourself?
Man, I'd have no idea what it's like to be by myself because I'm either at work and it's weird. It's almost unnerving for me to be at my house by myself because I'm never there by myself because there's always kids or, you know, whatever. So I've almost lost the ability to be at peace by myself. So now if I have to do that for 24 hours...
He's like, that's all I would do. Just sit. No.
I would. So can I travel in time, or I can just...
Sure. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Where do you want to go, man?
Man, I think probably hit somewhere in Europe. Can I take some invisible friends with me?
Sure.
No. Okay.
I wonder. We've never asked the question. I wonder if everyone's getting the same 24 hours, or if it's like a timeshare.
Who knows? Yeah, I don't know. We haven't asked that question. Yeah.
But I love that he would take other invisible friends with him.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone always answers it differently, and that's what I like to hear. So Europe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it'd be cool to go to the. I'd like to see the old course at St. Andrews Golf. Maybe drift on over to the Holy Land. I've always wanted to see that, and probably need to go somewhere nice for part of the 24 hours.
Right.
Need to go to San Diego or something for a couple hours.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that the spectrum of answers, you know, almost goes all over the place. One of our friends said that they just wanted to go sit in the Sporting KC locker room and just see what it was all about, you know. And then our friend Katie, our first guest, did say that. And so I love that there is a gamut of people. There's been a lot of answers where they almost want to, like, spy on someone just to see how they actually are. Mm-hmm. You know, like getting to... go and sit with Quentin for a day and actually see who Quentin Lewis actually is, you know, instead of whatever their public persona might be. And I found that to be interesting.
Yeah, somebody said they wanted to spy on their kids to see if they were terrible.
That crossed my mind, but then I was like, I don't know if I...
don't want to waste that.
I want to go to Europe. I mean, there's other ways to spy on kids, right?
Exactly. I love that. Right.
Exactly.
That is so funny. This is a new sort of question I'm trying. You're the first one. So around the new year, everyone sort of talks about going, like, on a diet, you know, or life-changing and plans or whatever. Well, what if you just screw that. What if you could eat something for the rest of your life that wouldn't make you fat, wouldn't kill you because you're unhealthy? Like, what would that food be that you would just love to sit down and enjoy that nothing would stop you from eating, you know?
Oh, I could fill up a lot of airtime with this.
Yeah, well, what's your favorite meal? What's your perfect meal?
Oh, boy, I just, you know, a good steak and a loaded baked potato, and maybe a little asparagus or something just for, you know, just more for
just
show.
Just so you can have a
green. Right, yeah. Just to give the plate some color.
Exactly.
But, yeah, and then, I like sweets, so I could, get me a ice, ice cream is how I would answer that question, because you got so many flavors.
You do.
You could.
But what's your favorite flavor?
You know, you're going to think I'm incredibly boring.
Vanilla?
Just plain vanilla.
Number one seller in the United States.
And I have an uncle that, and I totally agree with this ideology. He goes, why would you just say just plain vanilla? Vanilla's a flavor. It's delicious. There's nothing plain about it. Mm-hmm. But nobody ever says, oh, I'll have vanilla. It's just plain vanilla.
Yeah.
There is, I do a Breyer's French vanilla ice cream.
Yep,
and
that's the best of them.
All of a sudden, now he's going to be an official sponsor. Right? Breyers has been listening this whole time, and now they were looking for their spokesperson.
That's right.
And now you get all of the French vanilla ice cream you possibly can have.
So does that come with the caveat of your question that it doesn't matter? You can't gain an ounce. You can't make yourself sick. All right, well then send it on, Breyers.
I'd love that.
I'll go get a deep freeze.
My dad just retired almost a year ago from Blue Bunny Ice Cream, but ice cream was definitely a part of my childhood, but I've always said that it wasn't necessarily a treat, and Dad, I know you're listening to this, but at some point it's what was in the refrigerator. You know, hey, go grab yourself an ice cream bar if you're hungry. Mm-hmm.
Well,
it's there.
So if it was in the refrigerator, you had a lot of ice cream soup.
See? An hour in, and they get so cute with us.
Oh, well, maybe. Maybe you're just softening it up, right? So,
did you know if you store your ice cream in a plastic bag in the freezer, it will stay as soft as it's supposed to?
Oh, interesting.
Little insider trading.
Can I borrow a piece of paper? I might take notes.
If you put it into a plastic bag in there, then it will maintain its softness as whenever you first opened it and purchased it. Because often that's what keeps it hard, and the freeze or whatever is that there's a seal break. But if you can figure out how to get rid of that seal break, just a little insider trading. All of a sudden, Blue Bunny's like, no! Don't tell people that! That's what you're supposed to do. Last question from you?
Yes. Okay, let's see here. Sorry, I put away my things.
Come on.
I know. Okay. Let's do one we haven't done for a while. Where would you live if not here in KC?
I think if I could just draw it up, I'd have a condo overlooking the bay in San Diego and a place in Breckenridge and a plane to get back and forth.
Well, what's stopping you, John? Let's do that.
Well, let's see. Kids, money, time, pretty much everything.
Yeah, I guess
all that boring reality stuff.
I've been fortunate enough to go to both places multiple times.
I love Colorado.
It's great in the winter. It's great in the summer. And then San Diego's perfect all the time and don't have to go through customs, and it's a direct flight, and you know.
I haven't been to San Diego. I hear it is stunning. Everyone I talk to almost says that San Diego is their spot, and I can't wait to go there because I feel like I'll fall in love with it too. I was just in Santa Monica this past summer, and it was stunning. Went to the Pelican Hill Golf Resort. If you get a chance, you should look at it.
I'm familiar with it. I have not been.
It's insane.
All of Southern California is. it's hard to beat that weather.
Yep. Hard to beat that.
That's true.
So can you believe that was our 45 minutes?
That went by fast.
Pretty quick, right?
Yeah. So are we still going?
We're still going, but we're doing the wrap up now. It's totally fun. So my last sort of two questions are, is there anything that you would like to discuss that we didn't talk about? Any sort of words of advice or topics you'd like to bring up that we can shoot the shit about for a couple of minutes?
Well, I mean, I would just add that, I think the liaison between the Arts Asylum and the, my firm is going to be fabulous, and hopefully it's going to give the artists that you all support a platform, and it'll give us the opportunity to meet new people and you the opportunity to meet new people.
I'm so in love with the fact we've been talking about for at least 2 years about finding that perfect space in the Crossroads to sort of put an annex gallery, and the way that this partnership just sort of came together so easily gives me a lot of excitement for the future, because you want to work with us and we are beyond excited to have the opportunity to work with you. And we get to do it together. It's not like another one of those gallery spaces where we have to come in and like clean it out after First Fridays. We get, our artists get to show there essentially all year round. And that is just a really, really cool thing that we get to do together. And I'm glad that it's in a place that you wouldn't necessarily think would have art in it. And that's what makes your kind of location so special.
Well, and it makes it neat for our clients, that there's always something new. Again, makes it inviting, a place they want to come, and a place friends want to stop by. And I never really thought about the impact it would have on you know, our team, our staff, but you know, they being surrounded by cool art has been a great thing in our time in that space. And it's also, with from a business standpoint, this was not our intent in doing it, but it has made other advisors want to be a part of our firm. I've told a lot more no than I've said yes to.
That's so exciting.
And one of those unintended consequences I never could have seen coming. And it's I think it's either solidified our client relationships, and it certainly created some new relationships with people that probably wouldn't have happened otherwise, just because they value the same things that we value. And so anyway, it's really a powerful meeting of the organizations, I think.
I love happy accidents. It makes life so much easier. And in the future, you know, I hope that we can figure out a way to maybe get some of your people over to our building and kind of get to see the partner that you have and what they are doing inside of their 35,000 square feet of insanity that we have here. You know, the future is definitely bright.
Well, sounds like a field trip.
Yeah,
that's right.
I love that. We can get them on the buses with the Crossroads kids.
There you go. Yeah. Well,
how many clients do you have? Are you able to disclose that?
Yeah. Personally, I within my practice within the firm, I have about 200. As a firm, we have a couple of thousand. So anyway, that's way more than any one person could handle.
Do you have satellite stores as well, or does it all kind of run through your hub there?
So the main hub at Kansas City is at our office, but we have a satellite operation in Liberty. We have a satellite operation in Topeka, and then we have a sister office in St. Louis.
Are they all under the same names, or are they all named differently?
Yep, we're all one big umbrella. So we like to think of ourselves as small enough to be boutique, but big enough to have all the resources that are needed to do our jobs well.
And you founded that? It's your brainchild?
The Kansas City piece of it.
Yeah,
so everything we're doing in Kansas City is on me. And
that's so cool. So. If you could have told I guess this is kind of my last question. What's a piece of advice that you would give yourself today? Not yourself 10 years ago or 5 years in the future, but if you woke up today and said, "What's up, John? What's your piece of advice?"
Just slow it down a little bit. I run at a pretty fast pace. Between, you know, coaching basketball, I'm on city council where we live.
On different city council people.
Do different boards and committees and all sorts of stuff. And so I feel like I wake up on the run and go to bed on the run and still have 10 things left to do. And I like the Alabama song. I'm in a hurry and I don't know why. That probably describes me well.
How long have you been on city council?
2 years.
Great. What's the city that you represent, or is it your...
Lake Quivira.
Perfect.
It's, when I was standing in line at the, you have to file in Johnson County at the election office if you want to run for any sort of public office, and there was a guy in front of me that was running for Lenexa City Council, and we had about a 20-minute wait in line, and we're just kind of talking and about life, and then he said, "Well, what's your strategy to you know, be elected to city council. I said, well, I didn't know I needed one. I said, what's your strategy? He had it all mapped out. He was going to knock on doors, and, you know, kids were going to be putting flyers out, and, you know,
like,
just doing all this stuff. Right, and I'm like, I'm going to try not to get arrested between now and when they vote.
I'm going to host a dinner party.
Right. So it's not quite as cutthroat as Kansas City, Missouri, or some of the other municipalities. But
We've spent a lot of time in Kansas going from city council to city council because of the NDOs and stuff that have been traveling around there. So I'm getting to know many of those city council people in the in the city of Kansas City proper.
Hopefully, Olathe, you're listening for tomorrow.
Hopefully. Well, Olathe's been going through it.
Yes, they have.
Well, hit me up. I've got, I got 2 years left on my term, so.
Yeah. Do you have a goal? I mean, not to, like, put you on the spot, but for your place on city council, do you want to change something or see something that you are hoping to improve?
Actually, first couple of years, I just felt like I was getting, my sea legs under me, trying to get the lay of the land. And I actually just had this conversation with our newly elected mayor, Brady Lilja, couple of weeks back. But I'm going to do one of two things. We have a lot of power lines above ground, and even if it's a 100-year plan to figure out how to bury them, I would love to see what that would look like. Or we used to have a volunteer fire department, and for a variety of reasons, it just made sense a couple of years ago to be absorbed under the Shawnee Fire Department. So we have this old firehouse that used to house fire trucks that is now a building within the city that doesn't have a real purpose today. So
we're going to turn it into an arts facility together.
There you go. It could be the Arts Asylum Annex West.
Yeah,
that's right.
I'm down with that.
Or a car wash, or a convenience store, or all of the above.
Yeah, I mean, don't do it arts if you want to make money.
If we could house it in a wealth management firm, why not?
Can do anything.
Yeah,
dream it. That was sort of my hashtag for this year: is not necessarily dream bigger, but dream more. You know, intently. Like have a purpose for your dream, not just grasping at whatever's out there.
Yep,
we'll see if it works. 2020 is just around the corner. I can't believe that, guys. 29 days until 2020.
It's crazy.
Is Barbara Walters going to announce it at the
ball
drop?
Let's hope so. We're missing a big, big
marketing opportunity.
Yeah, if they don't. I mean, that just...
I'm assuming Barbara Walters is still around, right?
I don't know. I feel like the last
time
I
saw her, I was like, getting drunk somewhere. They're both 95.
Keep her safe, yeah.
Right. Well, yeah. Thanks, John, for being on the show. That was so much fun.
No, this was great. This is my first ever podcast. I hope it's not my last.
No, it won't be. We will love to have you on probably quarterly, just talk about how our relationship grows. Did you say before we started that you used to sort of do a sports talk or something, radio show?
Well, it was when I was in college. My buddy was the post game wrap up on the sports station that probably had a half a dozen people listening, and so I would oftentimes be his, you know, on the scenes, you know, the eyes and ears on the ground at the at the game, and anyway, so I did a very small amount of radio.
Well, you have the voice for radio for sure.
Well, I don't know about that, but my radio listening audience might grow significantly over this, because I don't know too many people that were listening to 91.9 in the late 90s.
Wouldn't that be funny, though, if this was the launch of your, like, podcast radio career?
Yeah.
Someone came up to you and they're like, John,
this is what we're going to do with the fire station.
Yeah. We're going to put a radio station in there that you have to have a weekly radio show.
That's right.
Hey, there you go. It's the Arts Asylum studio at the Lake Quivira Fire Department.
That's right.
I mean, you heard it here, guys.
Done.
Yeah, copyright. Right? So please come out to our Arts Asylum Annex Gallery this Friday on December 6th. We will have food and beverage and art and holiday cheer and shopping. And if you get there before like 7:30, you can meet our friend John. I believe he has a family engagement that he gets to run to. But we will be there with bells on, quite literally.
I might even pick up a scarf.
Ooh, you heard it here.
That's right.
Bring your scarves. Also happening here at the Arts Asylum this weekend, we have the Barn Players 6x10 Festival. Mm-hmm. And that is a really cool thing that takes place where they do 6 10-minute plays that were written by new playwrights in the city, and they do an evening showcase mm-hmm. of those 6 plays. And it takes about 1 hour and 20 with intermission, and it's a pretty cool little event. Yes. You can go to the barnplayers.org website to get more information about yes. that. Mm-hmm. Next week, we will have on Vanessa,
aka... Sean, right? Next
Just
week.
Kidding. Next week is Sean Cullen, the artistic director of the Heartland Men's Chorus. Mm-hmm. And he will be on to tell us about his new life as the interim artistic director
yes.
with them.
Yep.
It's so exciting. Mm-hmm. But we're so glad to have you on the show, John, and we will see you this Friday at the gallery.
Yep. Sounds great. Thanks, Courtney. Yep. Thanks, Corey.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that was this week's episode of Couch Chats. Thanks so much for listening. Couch Chats is available locally on KOJH 104.7 and also on iTunes. Remember, that's Couch with a K. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this episode are solely those of Couch Chats, not the Arts Asylum, KOJH, or Mutual Musicians Foundation. Thanks again for listening, and please remember to rate, review, and subscribe, as well as follow us on Instagram. Tune in next week to see who we have on the couch.